Praise God. Hallelujah. God is so good. Isn't God good? Paul, will you come up and share the word of God with us this morning? Let me just pray for you. Father, I just want to thank you for my brother. Thank you for the grace on his life and what he carries in the Lord. And may something be imparted to us this morning, Father, as we receive from him your word. And Lord God, may our hearts be blessed and our lives changed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Damien. Thank you, church. So I ought to warn you, last time I preached, it was an hour and a half, and I'm not joking. That was in Zimbabwe, but I was told to preach between an hour and an hour and a half, so I was only being obedient. So, radical generosity. So I thought we're going to try and do it fairly quickly. So I thought I'd start off by talking about what is radical generosity? What does that actually mean? What's the definition? So, first slide, please. So, radical generosity, you start off with the word radical, and the definition is it relates to the most important parts, something, it's complete, it's extreme. I also played around with the word radical, so I've used the other word radical, CLE, which is when you're talking about the root. For those who remember biology and you used to plant the seed in the ground, and the first thing that came out was the root, which was the radical, and it goes down deep. So I think there's an aspect of what we're talking here is something that should go deep and should be deeply rooted in God and in our spirits and in our lives. Generosity, a willingness to give help or support, especially more than is usual or more than is expected. So there's some other words about which we could use instead of radical. You can read those yourself. I just want to point out the penultimate line. It's lollipops as well as diamonds. What do I mean by that? You know, sometimes we think of we think of things and what can we be generous in? And we think about money, £10,000, £100,000, whatever. But we can be generous with everything, no matter how small. And there's a video I'd recommend you looking at if you want to. It's a TED talk, and it talks about lollipops and how a guy gave a lollipop to a girl in a university queue, and it changed her life. She married the guy he gave the lollipop to a guy to give to her, and she ended up marrying the guy who he gave the lollipop to give to her. She was going to leave university, but she ended up staying because of that moment. And he didn't remember a moment about it himself. He couldn't remember the event. But it's, you know, when we're doing these things, sometimes our generosity, it goes way beyond what we realize that it goes beyond. It goes way beyond what we expect. And the impact of it is eternal. I was going to say can be eternal, but it is eternal. I wanted to ask the question, is God radically generous? Yeah, I think we got the answer, but just in case you weren't sure, I put a few things up there, which I thought we could look at, you know. Creation. Why did God create this world and the sun, the moon, the stars and the planets? Because he could, because he wanted to. Who's going to benefit from us? You are. I am. Every single one of us, God has created the things that we can enjoy purely and simply so that we can enjoy them. You know, we are the created beings that get the pleasure out of what God has created. And you look at how much he's created, and if you've ever seen the Louis Giglio videos, or the How Great Is Our God video, highly recommend it. Look it up on YouTube, Louis Giglio, L-O-U-I-S. G-I-G-L-I-O, Louis Giglio, How Great Is Our God Tour. And you just see the size of the universe. You know, hundreds and thousands and billions of light years. And you think light is travelling at 800,000 feet per second, I think it is. 800,000 feet per second. A year, 365 days, times 24 hours, times 60 minutes, times 60, times 800,000 gives you the distance for one light year. And we're our universe that God has created. And he's created it for your pleasure. Isn't that extravagant and radical generosity? You know, and then if we weren't sure, John 3:16. You know, God so loved the world, not only the world, but every single individual, every single one of you in this world. He loved you so much that he sent his only son to die for you. If you don't know him yet, wow. And God has sent his son. And why? Because he wants to have communion. He wants to chat to you. He wants to spend eternity with you. He wants you to spend eternity with him. Isn't that radical generosity? You know, God who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. We'll look again at the rest of that verse a little later. But he provides everything for to us for our enjoyment. You know, what about Elisha and the widow with the oil? You know, radical generosity. He could have just provided enough oil to make that cake. He could have topped up the one oil jar. But he kept on topping oil jars, and he said, go and get, borrow jars and containers and anything you can. You can imagine saucepans, you know, if we were doing it today, you'd probably get a bath. That's what I meant to say. You go and get a bath, you get a cauldron, you get your saucepans, you get everything. And as she kept pouring, God's radical generosity was the oil kept flowing. The oil kept flowing, and that will happen for you. As you know, and we'll do a silly example later of prime poor old Bill. He doesn't know quite what he's let himself in for, but here's a clue, Bill. We got the lollipops ready. But, you know, you look at that. Look at the Good Samaritan. The story that Jesus told, the Good Samaritan. I didn't put this one up. This was an extra one I added after I'd sent the slides to Andy. The Good Samaritan. You know, as part of the Good Samaritan, the guy came along who Jesus gives us as an example, and he picks the poor bloke up who's been beaten up. First of all, he puts himself at risk because the road that they were on was a known risk for robbers and bandits. He then picks him up, sorts him out, gets him well enough at the side of the road, still under threat from robbers and risks and robbers and bandits. Takes him to a hotel or a motel or an inn or whatever you want to call it. And he says, yeah, how much money have I got? And he gets his wallet out. Ramsey, I haven't got it on me. I've left it. Sorry, I can't lend you anything. He gets his wallet out and he takes all the money. I think he took all of the money out of his wallet and he gave it to the innkeeper and he says, this should be enough to get him better. But if it isn't, I'll come back with some more and I'll pay you whatever the difference is. Just whatever the cost, whatever the consequence, whatever it takes, please look after him and I'll foot the bill. That's what God does for every single one of us. Whatever it takes, whatever it costs, he's footing the bill. And we don't have to worry about, did God have enough money on him? Because he did. And he still has, and he always will do, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has got enough for everything that you need. And he's saying to you, just come and talk to me. His radical generosity towards us. The next slide talks about quotes from Isaiah 61, which Jesus quoted when he first came into ministry. And he says that Jesus came to proclaim good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for captives, release from darkness for the prisoners, the year of the Lord's favor, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve, to bestow on them a crown of beauty, to give them the oil of joy instead of mourning, to give them garments of praise instead of spirits of despair. You know, Jesus came to do that. All that is, to me, is radical generosity. So is God radically generous? Okay, shall we go back four slides? Because you obviously haven't got the message. Or shall I just ask the question again? Is God radically generous? Do you believe it? You sure? I'm not convinced. But we'll carry on. So the next slide. What does God desire, expect, want from us? He has no dependency on it. There's loads of verses going to come up in the next few slides. He says, whoever is kind to the poor, the lends to the Lord. So he expects us to be kind to the poor. And if we are, he will reward us. In Mark, it says that Jesus is talking to the rich man and he says, go and sell everything you have and give to the poor, then you will have treasures in heaven. In Matthew 10, it says, if you give a cup of cold water to even one of these little ones, then you will not lose your reward. So he expects us to be giving all the while. In Acts 20, at the end of Acts 20, verse 35, he said, it is more blessed to give than receive. Sometimes those of us who like giving don't actually receive very well as well. There's an aspect of that there, you know. I have to receive, because if I don't receive, I deny you the object, the opportunity to give. But we have to be prepared to give. The next batch of slides, going back to 1 Timothy 16, God, who richly provides us with everything, commands us to do good and to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. The commands to be good, to be rich. Proverbs, going, so there's some Old Testament verses there. One person gives freely. If you give freely, you gain more. If you withhold, you come towards poverty. Luke 6, give and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So as we are generous, God is even more generous back to us. If we start being tight-handed or close-fisted or whatever, then, you know, can we really expect God to be generous to us? You know, come back to the parable of forgiveness that Jesus talked about when he said the guy owed the king £50,000 or whatever it was, and the king forgave him. And then the same guy who'd been given £50,000 goes to his mate and says, you owe me £500. I'm going to throw you in the pauper's jail. And God wants us to be as generous to others as he is to us. And we've come to the conclusion that God is radically generous to every single one of us. So we have to be radically generous to others. You don't have to be, because God's going to beat you up if you don't. But it should be, in my opinion, part of our response. Okay, a few more verses. God loves a cheerful giver. It's not just about what you give, but our attitude of heart. And we'll talk about that in a moment when we talk a little bit about stewardship. In 1 John 4, in fact, all of the John's epistles and some of his gospel, he talks about a phrase which we called love one another. One anothering. Do unto one another. Jesus said, you know, the most important commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul and your mind and your strength. And the second one is to love your neighbor as yourself. We need to love one another. And God says, as we are loving one another, and an aspect of loving one another is being radically generous to each other, as part of that, it reveals... Jesus says, people will know you are Christians by your love. And he says, as we love one another, other people will want to know more about that. So we need to be one anothering. I'd urge you, if you've never read John's letters, 1 John, 2 John and 3 John, read them. And read how many times he talks about one anothering and what we should do for one another, and how we should encourage one another, and how we should look after one another, and how we should support one another. Matthew 7, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, goes on talking about good gifts. And in everything you do, do to others what you would have them do to you. You know, just keep on giving, and the more you give, this is what Jesus is saying and what God's saying, he'll use the measure we give with to give back to us. And what are we talking about giving? So are we talking about money? Well, yes, we are talking about money. We are talking about money, but we're talking about money as one thing. Not just money. What about your house? If you've got a spare room in your house and you know somebody who's in the church who hasn't got anywhere to live, what do you do about it? If you've got a spare car, You know, somebody who hasn't got a car or somebody whose car's about is no longer working. What do you do about it? If you know people who need lifts, what do we do about it? You know, God gives us those things because he wants us to use them. What about your time? You know, time is probably, you know, we often talk about money and the financial things, but what about your time? Are you willing to give time to others? If you haven't got anything else, we've all got time. What about yourself? Are you willing to give of yourself? Are you willing to give of your energy? Are you willing to, you know, are you willing to give clothes? And we'll talk a few verses in a minute where it talks about if you've got two shirts and your brother hasn't got one, you should be giving him one. If you've got two coats and your brother hasn't given him one, you should be giving him one. Now, I'm not saying that we should all go and sell everything we've got, although that's what the early church did, because we're going to talk in a minute about giving out of what we have, not out of what we have not. But when we have got so much and we see our brothers and our sisters without, what do we do? We talked about God being radically generous. The challenge is we should be radically generous. Something which I haven't put up there, again, another bullet point. What about the gifts of the Spirit? What about the gifts of the Spirit? Who here has been given a gift of the Spirit? Let's have a show of hands. Who's been given tongues, prophecy, healing, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, etc., etc.? Who's got a gift of the Spirit? Encouragement, serving, mercy. You can have the 1 Corinthians list, or you can have the Romans list, or you can have any of the other lists. I would suggest most of us have gifts of the Spirit. If we are Christians and we know God, we are filled with his Spirit and he gives us gifts. Who are you giving those gifts to? You know, the gift of healing, when you've got the gift of healing, is it for you to be healed or is it for you to gift healing to others? Who are we giving those gifts of the Spirit to? Who are we being radically generous with those gifts of the Spirit that God's put inside of us to? Yeah, tongues, God's maybe given us that to encourage ourselves. But a lot of the others, when was the last time we had a word of knowledge for somebody? We shared a picture with somebody. We prayed for somebody to be healed. Donna wasn't very well the other week at the front. The lady who normally sits at the front, her back was giving her all sorts of problems. Did many of us even know? And if we did know, did we stop and pray for her? I know some of us did. But we need to do that. We need to be radically generous, not only inside the church, but also outside the church. Because as we're using those gifts, that demonstrates the power and authority of Christ. As we prayed for Kaz today, that is giving a demonstration of God's authority and God's power and God's radical generosity to the world, to them, which will impact eternity. As I say, that's the verse. But I also want to talk about stewardship. Just before I move off this slide, I'm keeping an eye on the clock. Stewardship. One of the reasons we are, I would suggest, we're not radically generous is maybe we don't understand the principles of God and the principles of the Bible and the principles of ownership. Now, when we talk about stewardship, the course tells us that there are 4 different views that we can all take to stewardship. Stewardship is what we do with things. So the first thing is whether your life, your money, your children, and again, that's another thing that we can talk about giving. We've seen that demonstrated amongst us this morning, that we've given our children back to the Lord. But do we think that everything we have belongs to me? That's one position we can have, that everything I have is mine. God may have given it to me, but it's mine. It's mine. It's mine to do what I want with, how I want, when I want, where I want. Do we think everything is mine and I'm going to give God a tip every now and again? You know, I've been to the restaurant and I had a good service this morning. The worship was really good. So when the collection came round, I put 20 quid in. That's good, isn't it, God? 20 quid I put in, you ought to. Yay. Are we tipping God? Do we think that everything is mine? And we tip God with our time, with the use of our car, with the use of our house, with whatever. Or do we think everything's mine except 10% and 10% belongs to God? The tithe. I need to get my teeth in today. The tithe, you know, the 10%. Does 90% belong to me and 10% belong to God? Therefore, I will always give God the first fruits of my wages, the first fruits of my time. I'll give him the first 10% and then I'll use the 90%. Or do we actually believe that everything is God's? Everything I have is God's. My house is God's. My car is God's. If God tells me to give my car away, I will give it away. And I mean that. You think I'm... I mean it. Because it's God's. It's not mine. I don't have to hold on to it because it's not mine. And I know also if God tells me to give my car away, he's going to look after me anyway. It's not a problem, is it? Because everything belongs to God, and I will give to God and do with the things that God has given me stewardship over, I will do what he tells me to do with them. Because that's the way it should work. So let's move off of that. That's getting a bit heavy, sorry. Out of what you have, not out of what you have not. You know, God doesn't expect you to give away what you haven't got. He also doesn't expect you to give away both of your coats. He talks about here in the verses, if you've got two shirts and you see your brother who hasn't got one, give him one of your shirts. Don't give him both of them. You might want to give him the best one if you want to really bless him, but he doesn't even tell us to do that. But he does tell us to use that stuff as God's done it. And it isn't right, or it isn't right, sorry. Nearly went into Brummie then, and then you'd be really thinking I was up in Cannock with Adam, didn't you? Yeah, it isn't right for me to be sitting comfortable and have excess. My wife's not in the room. I was going to talk about... I won't talk about Lynn's wardrobe. No, I won't talk about Lynn's wardrobe. Move out of that one quickly. But it isn't right. But having said that, she is very generous at giving her wardrobe away, especially when she wants some more because now I've got nothing left. But... Now, bless her. I love her to bits. Thank you, Lord, for my missus. But he does tell us to give out of what we've got. It isn't out of what we haven't got. And you can read that, and he talks about the possessions, and it talks about things. So let's move on. So, as I say, stewardship. He says to us to freely give what we have received. Freely you have received, now freely give. Use the generous measure. Freely you receive. Better to give than receive. These are similar verses to what we've already talked about. But part of that is because we are created. This penultimate line, one down here, Genesis 1:26. We are created in the image of God. If God is radically generous, then I believe we're created to also be radically generous. And as we do that, God gave us the whole world. As we do that, we are reflecting him to the world. I can't see back there with my glasses on. I have to read this bit with my glasses on. Come on, Paul, get a grip. And this is how we know what love is. You know, Jesus sent his only son and died for us while we were yet sinners. But if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and truth. For me, I think, how do we start being generous? How do we start moving to radical generosity? For me, I think it starts with nurture and then becomes part of our nature. What I mean by that is I think we have to start the process. It's like when I want to lose weight. If I want to start lose weight, I have to discipline myself and go to a diet. And it's no use waiting for me to hope that I'm going to go on a diet. I have to take steps and I have to start to train my body to eat less food. I'll say that again. Paul, you need to train your body to eat less food because I'm terrible. I mean, as soon as food's there, I just eat it, but that's a whole different issue. But we need to train ourselves. We need to train ourselves. The same as we need to, you know, if you want to stop smoking, you need to choose and then take actions. If you want to stop swearing, you need to choose and take actions. And I know God's Holy Spirit comes in and the supernatural takes over and the supernatural helps us. No, I'm not saying that doesn't the case, but there is a starting in this with nurturing something. And as we nurture it, it turns to become part of our nature. It starts with a demo. Right. So, is God abundant or a selfish pauper? Does he promise to supply all our needs? Do we see our brother, or do we have two coats and see our brother with none? Bill, here's your magic moment. Can you come and help me, please?
That's it.
Here comes my glamorous assistant. When he gets to the front, we'll ask him to do a twirl. No, maybe we won't. So, Bill, I'd like you to turn around. They won't bite you.
No.
Well, Spencer might bite, but the rest of them won't. Yeah, he's looking up there. He's smiling. Yeah, Bill, I'd like you to put your hand in there. Grab a handful of lollipops. Not just grab as many as you can and see how many you can pull out. You're not getting many out there. So when you're trying to grab, you're not getting a lot. Okay, so can you let go then? Right, what I'd like you to do now is, can you put your hands together and I'm going to pour some, clench your fists, and I want you to see how many you can catch with your fists clenched.
Not a lot.
One. Well, this is working well so far. All right, we'll try again. I tell you what, I won't bother picking them up because we're going to probably make a bit more of a mess. Hold your hands open. Hold your hands up. Now, I want you to see how many you can catch this time, all right? Oh, you caught quite a few, didn't you? You did well. Do you want to pour some back in there? And this time we'll ask Damien. Damien, can you come out and help us? Joseph, can you come out and help us? Who else are we going to get to come out and help? Tony, can you come and help? John, can you come and help? It's a men-only event, this. Yeah? Right. So what I want you four guys to do is, can you bend down a little bit lower and hold your hand out like that? And I want you to put your hands, hold your hands out over the top of them, Bill. And I'm going to see what happens if I pour freely into Bill's hands, and as they overflows from Bill's hands, Tony, you only got one. There you go. Right, thank you, guys. So the idea of that is, as I freely give, he freely gives, and he doesn't get less. In actual fact, you've probably got more there than you had last time. Do you want to pour some back in there? Because we need them for the kids afterwards, otherwise there's going to be none left. Thank you, guys. Yeah, the principle of God with this... The principle is, if we shouldn't be clinging and we shouldn't be closed-handed. That's all right. You're allowed to be generous with my lollipops. Oh, look. Yes, thank you, Bill. There's a blackjack. Oh, here's a lollipop here as well. So the idea is not to be clinging and closed-handed, but to be open-handed. We tend to be clinging and closed-handed because we fear because we're limited. But God is limitless. Recognize that who is giving you what you have? It's God. You know, and the pity about my example is my jar ran out. The pity about the story with the of Elisha and the widow with the oil is the oil ran out. Her oil ran out because she ran out of jars to collect it with. I would suggest to you that what you have will run out when you stop giving it away. If you give away, God is limitless. He will keep providing what you have. And in Deuteronomy 15, verse 8 there, he says, This was his instruction to the children of Israel, and I believe it still stands very much for us. Be open-handed, freely lend whatever they need. Give generously to them. Do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord will, your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. If we are open-handed and we generously give, there is a promise of blessing. And God always keeps his promises. Okay, I heard one person agreeing with that, and I saw a few nods. So obviously the rest of you don't believe that God always keeps his promises. And he does. God always, always, always keeps his promises. Thank you, Andy. And again, you know, the new, it wasn't just the Old Testament and Deuteronomy. In the New Testament, at the end of Acts 2 there, we read that all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had in need. And nobody had need within their congregation and within their church and within their fellowship, because they all looked after each other. They all one anothered. And guess what? The last line of that says, because of that, the demonstration of the love of God, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. As we follow God and we follow his example and we do what he tells us to do, and as we are one anothering and as we're radically generous, God will actually, that will become obvious to the world, and the world will start saying, I want what some of what they've got. I want to be impacted by that same spirit that they're impacted by. And I was going to put in about, you know, if you look at the fruit of the Spirit, how many of the fruits of the Spirit have generosity, radical generosity part of them, you know, love? Isn't love an aspect of radical generosity? When we are radically generous, doesn't it give us a great joy? Doesn't it give us a great peace? Patience, kindness, goodness, etc. Freely you've received, freely give. You are blessed to be a blessing. Use your talents and give them away. Use the gifts of the Spirit, give them away. The more you give away, the more God will give back. Give as if you're giving to Jesus. Honor God with your first fruits. Sow generously, remembering who supplies the seed in the first place. Whoever sows generously will reap generously. Having all that you need, you will abound in every good work, as it is written. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for the food will also supply and increase your store of seed. He will supply and increase your store of seed. He will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, which results in thanksgiving to God. So, two slides left, and then we're done. We're not too late. How can you be radically generous? Every one of us in this room has something we can give to others for their benefit. Whether it's our time, our energy, the gifts of the Spirit that God's given to us, our money. You know, if you know somebody who needs a holiday, they've not had a holiday and you think they need a holiday and you've got the money, you can pay for it. Do whatever. Every one of us has something that we can give to others for their benefit. Every one of us can serve our brothers and our sisters, the church, the world. So my challenge to you is, in finishing, is something. Think of something generous you can do for someone and go do it. Think of something generous you can do for someone and go do it. You could write an encouraging note. You could give a gift. You could serve by doing. You could be doing something to help them, something for them. You could do a chore that they may hate doing. You can do it. In fact, I won't say you can do it. I'd say please do something for somebody at church, here in Hope Church, at home, in your homes, at your school or your workplace or wherever you go during the day, for your neighbours, for your family, for your friends or even strangers. Because as much as you do this for them, you do it for Christ. Amen.